Hi, I'm Abby Peterson. I just recently graduated from Warsaw Community High School and was baptized in 2023. For me, I think before I decided I wanted to get baptized, I thought about it like, when is it the right time for me? I was almost having like a battle within myself of committing to having faith in Jesus and not having control over my life and just really giving that to God helped open my eyes up to that. When I first got baptized, I was pretty nervous. I mean, there's obviously a lot of other people doing it with me, so that kind of gave me comfort. But as soon as I got in the water, it just kind of went quiet. And I didn't really think about other people looking at me. It was just me and God and whoever was baptizing me that day. And yeah, I kind of got emotional with it a little bit because once you're in that position and declaring your faith, nothing really matters. Everybody's going through the same process as you. And I encourage people to get baptized because it opens you up to new relationships and can help you to build your relationship with Jesus in different ways. It brings me peace because I feel like I'm almost like a role model to others, and I hope that I can bring something into people that makes them want to get baptized too. Raised to life.
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 Well, good morning. As I walked up here, I saw the mic stand standing over there, and I was about 90% sure I was going to ram this like podium right into it. So thanks, John, for moving that. Man, I just love the times of year when we have baptism, just getting to hear different testimonies, getting to hear how the Lord is working all around us, and we as Christ Church get to witness that. I am thankful for Abby being willing to just share her testimony of just how the Lord had brought her here to be able to get baptized and that we got to celebrate that with her. And so as we're thinking about the meaning of baptism, I want to read Romans 6:4 for us. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And so this is what we get to celebrate as a church. Our brothers and sisters identifying with Christ and being identifying with his resurrection, and our brothers and sisters being raised to life. And so one of the things that Abby had shared in the video was that she feels like a role model towards others. And so we have that same opportunity to be lights wherever we live, work, and play for Christ and his church. And so one of the things that I've had the privilege of hearing at multiple baptism classes was just that everyone there is an answer to prayer. And so I want to take a minute to just pray over the baptism service. And as we go about our lives throughout this week, just that God will bring people to our mind that we can share our faith with. And so let us pray. God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for just allowing us to gather together and worship you this morning. Lord, we just pray for this baptism service coming up on August 3rd. Lord, just pray for anybody who's on the fence. Pray that you give them confidence in you. Anybody who's nervous to get up in front of so many people, just pray for you to give them wisdom and just peace about that decision, Lord. As we go about this week, And today, God, just pray for you to bring people to mind, somebody that we can continue to pray for them to have a relationship with you, Lord. And so just pray that you bring somebody to each of our minds right now. God, I just pray for this person, Lord. Pray for your spirit to empower us. God, give us opportunities to share your good news with them sometime. God, continue to bring them to our mind this week as we leave today. In Jesus' name, amen. And so details about the baptism service, it'll be August 3rd. There'll be one service at 10:30 a.m. We will all gather over by the pavilion, kind of pond area. There'll be no sunlight programming that morning, so the whole church body is going to come together and celebrate the baptisms that day. After the service, there'll be a lunch and activities for all ages, so looking forward to that. Well, welcome. If you're new here, thank you for gathering with us and worshiping this morning. If you'd stop by the Info Center on your way out, you could fill out a connection card. Just let us know who you are and how we can serve you. And there's also a gift available for you at the Info Center as well. Next, we just want to thank you for your generosity and faithful giving. There are multiple ways to give. You could give online, the offering boxes in the back, or by scanning the QR code on the seats in front of you. Also, if you scan the QR code on the seats in front of you, you can get caught up with what's going on here at the church or grab a What's Going On flyer on your way out. As for today, I am not giving the sermon, although it looks like that. We have a very special guest. His name is Andrew Royer. He is the president of Ethnos 360 Bible Institute. He and his wife, Sarah, met here in the Warsaw-Winona Lake area, and they have three boys. They are avid coffee lovers, so I didn't get the review after first service, so looking for the coffee review after this service. But they have spent their lives serving the Lord. God had led them after Andrew was a pastor here in this area for a number of years to Brazil for them to just pour into students there, teach them a Bible, and equip them for ministry and sharing the faith, their faith with their communities and with unreached people groups. After that, they were led to Ethnos Bible Institute, where they continued pouring into students and discipling them and equipping them for life and missions. My wife, Ellie, and I have had the privilege of taking classes through Ethnos Bible Institute and having a few of Andrew's classes, and just have so appreciated his ability to just apply the scriptures, and I know that we have grown in our faith so much through that. And so he and Sarah just have a heart for discipleship. They are missionaries that equip missionaries. And so if you want more information on EBI, there is a table out as you exit the main doors, but here is a short video just explaining the heart behind Ethnos.
It's exciting to wonder, where will God take you? At Ethnos 360 Bible Institute, you study through the whole Bible, see God's heart for the world through missions, and experience life-on-life discipleship with staff. So whether you head back to your local church, the mountains in South America, or to the jungles in Papua New Guinea, Ethnos 360 Bible Institute will equip you for life and missions.
Good morning, church. It is good to be here with you guys. I've recognized some familiar faces in the lobby and good to run into a number of people that we know from our years here in Warsaw-Winona Lake. So really, really excited to be back here. I'm here with my wife, Sarah, and our family. We have three boys. Two of them are grown and off in other countries and other places in America. And our younger son still tags along with us, and we're grateful for that, Jude. So it's just a privilege to be here with you guys. This morning, also, by the way, Caleb and Ellie, just a couple weeks ago, had the privilege of handing them their diploma at EBI. Super proud of those guys. And last year, I know, isn't that great? A lot of work. Last year, also, Jeffrey and Rachel and Dan and Madison. So it's been a really, really fun connection with this church. Well, I want to ask a question this morning, and then I'd love to answer it by looking at scripture. And the question I'd like to ask, and I want you to think through this question, it's a real question, is missions worth it? And I know we're in church and we should all say yes, of course. But like, let's stop and think about that question. Like, as a congregation, you guys have invested in sending out missionaries. And, you know, it's probably fair to stop and say, like, was it worth it that we did that? Because think of like these families that have left and uprooted from here and moved to places far, far away, taking kids and grandkids away from their parents and grandparents. Even think of the financial impact on this church. Like, if you had just saved all that money instead of sending missionaries, you guys could have an awesome go-kart track around the building, or maybe a fitness center with CrossFit or something, and a juice bar free for their members. Like, wouldn't that be amazing? Like, I mean, stop and think about it. Like, you know, it'd be worthwhile. And if not, if that's not your thing, maybe a bowling alley. And I don't know. And if you support missionaries long enough, you could have bought some land and had a golf course. I mean, stop to think about, like, it's a fair question to say, is missions worth it? Because it's a bit of focus. It's a bit of priority. It's costly. It involves people. There are people that you've sent out that were valuable servants here in this church. Like, I remember when I was a missions pastor here in this community, and we shared doing perspectives courses. And I remember Summer Zimmer being incredibly involved. And now she's on the other side of the world, and you guys don't have that benefit. The money goes out for the gospel to be extended, and you don't get benefits from it here. So it's a fair question to ask. Is it worth it? And like all things, when you want to ask, is something worth it, or when you're considering, it's always good to ask people who know something about it, right? Like if you're going to go to college, you might ask someone, hey, is it worth it? It's a lot of money, a lot of effort, you know, and you might ask someone who's been to the college you're considering, is that worth it? And then someone might tell you yes or no, or whatever it might be. Or I on my bucket list is Grand Canyon. Anybody been to the Grand Canyon? So I always like to ask people, like, was it worth it? What do you guys say? No. I heard yes and no. I've met people who are like, yeah, I got there all this way. It's 1,000,000 degrees, and it's a big hole in the ground. I've met people like that. Other people are like, life-changing. I'll never be the same. Yeah. So it's interesting to ask. And sometimes we make silly, smaller decisions like, is it worth it to upgrade my phone? And if I do, like, is the iPhone 16 worth it? Is that worth it? And I don't know. What do you guys think about iPhone 16? Worth it or not? No. I heard a passionate no over here. Yeah, I don't know. Or like coffee. You're like, meh, Folgers at home or a latte at the Rivers or whatever. Like, is it worth it or is it not? I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're always asking that. Well, there's a word in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, and a biblical New Testament Greek word that we translate from both of these languages into our English word, worthy. And this word worthy, in Hebrew, the word worthy, the literal definition has to do with balance or equilibrium, which seems really bizarre, but you have to go back in your mind 4,000 years ago to understand it's a word image of, well, if you're a farmer back then, and you take your grain to the market and you want to sell it, and you need to decide how much is this worth. You're trying to decide what is its value. So you would put it on a scale and you'd start putting up the weighing blocks until it got to balance or equilibrium. And you're like, oh, now it's worth this amount. This amount of grain is worth this much. And so that's what we're doing. We're trying to decide. We're putting things on the scale. When we're talking about missions, we're talking about sending people out. We're talking about risk. We're talking about hardship. We're talking about cost and finances. And we're putting all those things on the scale. And the other side is Jesus' name being declared to the nations and people becoming sons and daughters of the High King, and we're saying, is this worth it? Was it worth it? Well, just like everything else, it's good to ask people who maybe know a little bit more than ourselves. So I want to turn our attention to Revelation chapter 4. The book of Revelation is a special book. It was a book given to the Apostle John late in his life. He's the last of the 12 disciples. All the others had died out. And then God gives him this vision of these end times, or this vision of things to come, and he writes it down. And we're just going to cherry pick a couple spots out of this book. We're not going to try to write a timeline this morning, all right? We're just going to grab a couple of passages. Chapter 4, verse 8 is where we're going to start in. And we're just going to jump into this scene in heaven of what John sees, and he makes a couple statements about God being worthy. Pay attention to these things. Who's there present? Like, who's talking? And what is he worth or worthy of? And why is he worthy of it? Pay attention to that as I read this. Revelation 4, verse 8. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, were full of eyes around them and within, and all day and all night, they never ceased to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him seated on the throne and who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders fell down before him who is seated on the throne, and they worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, here's our word, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "For you created all things." This is the statement. And by the way, this phrase, "you're worthy of this because your creator," is a centerpiece of theology, especially the Old Testament. This is like an important concept. If you haven't grasped this concept in your life, stop and consider this right now. That God is God, he's the creator, and we are created. That is the nature of our relationship. He made things. He made us. We exist for him. And if we get that right, everything falls into place. If he gets to say what's good and what's bad, he gets to say what's right and what's wrong. He gets to say what is priority and what's less important. Because he is the creator. He made it. That's what they say, why he is worth that. And who's saying this? It's these living creatures. And admittedly, I don't know a ton about these living creatures, mainly because the scripture doesn't tell you much about them. But they got wings all over the place, so I'm guessing they're pretty mobile. They've got eyes all over the place, so it seems like they've seen some things, right? I think that's at least what we can gather from them, is they know some stuff. And what they would tell you, if you were to ask them, "Mr. Living Creature, sir," they're not given names here. If you were to ask them, like, "Is he worth our church focusing like this on missions?" The living creatures would say, "He's worthy of glory," which is like value or priority. "And is he worth our praise and our dedication?" And they would say, "He is worthy." And if you ask the elders who are also in here, which you don't know a lot about them necessarily, but they're obviously leaders among this scene in heaven. These are 24 people who are leaders among this scene. And they would say, "He's worthy." And they would bow down and say, "He's worthy. He's the maker. He's the creator. He's the center of all things. He is worthy of that." Well, look one more chapter over, chapter 5. There's another little scene. And there's the living creatures are still there, verse 8. And that 24 elders are still there. And this is what they sang, a new song. "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals." Why? "For you were slain," speaking of Jesus, "and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." This is what he says. You're worthy. Why? because you have this redemptive plan. This is the best description of what missions is. This is the best description. He says his plan is to ransom or buy back, right, with the payment of his blood, people from every tribe and language and nation. This is what Jesus is doing. This is what God is working towards. In fact, all of human history is moving toward this end. This is God's plan and his agenda, and it's going to happen with or without you. Like, do you want to be involved or do you want to do your own little thing? Because this is his plan. And there's all kinds of things that are done in the name of missions. Like, I've met people on the other side of the world who are doing things they call missions. Like, we met a guy who was tagging the great giant catfish of the Mekong River. You know, we were explaining about sharing the gospel, and he was like, yeah, I guess God has both given us missions. I'm like, it's not the same. It's like a cool job. I loved it. Like, what a fascinating job. But like, that's not God's mission. That's not his intended goal for humanity. His intended goal is to buy back people who are lost, people who are living in darkness, people who are living in spiritual bondage, people who need to be in a right relationship with Jesus to be sons and daughters. Can I get an amen or something there? All right. I'm used to teaching in a classroom. There's a bit more like, not amens. So that's, anyway, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, sometimes mission has been sort of downgraded to, like, it's good and right for us to show mercy and kindness, and that actually adorns the gospel, right? So we want to do that. We want to be helping people with mercy and help, you know, showing the kindness and pulling people out of hard situations. And yet we need to be concerned about their soul. We want to dedicate our lives just to helping people be a little bit more comfortable and live a little bit longer. But I honestly think a lot of missions has swung that direction. But this is what God is into. And look at this, verse 11, the passage goes on. And then I looked and I heard around the throne, those living creatures and the elders, they're still there, and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, which is just basically this mass amount of angels. I can't even count them, thousands upon thousands. And they were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, and to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. They're saying, anything that you could possibly put on that scale, he's worth it. That's what the angels and the elders and the living creatures would say. He is worth it. Okay, one more passage. Two chapters forward, chapter 7, there's one more scene. And it's all the same people, and then we add a new category. After this, I looked, and behold, a great number, a multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. If you go on to read the passage, you'll learn the people who are in the matching white robes, these are martyrs who had given their life for the sake of the gospel. And they all together say, verse 12, amen and blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And even those who gave their lives would say, he was worth it. He was worth it. Now, this is a little bit trippy. If this is a scene from the future, and if this indeed has people from every tongue, tribe, and nation, this is future tense. It very well could be, and I don't want to harp here too long, but like, are we in that scene? Like, if this is future and this is people from every tribe of a nation, that would include us as believers. And would future you, have you ever written a letter to yourself and then like on a time capsule or something, read it like a year later or anything like that? Can you imagine? Is this kind of like that? Future you would say, like, whatever you're thinking, forget about it, like he is worth it. And this is the rest of the Bible too. This isn't just Revelation. This is John the Baptist. Do you remember him? He says, I'm not worthy to unstrap his Birkenstocks. I don't think he said Birks, but like that gets quoted in three Gospels and the book of Acts. This is his idea of Jesus. When people catch a glimpse of Jesus and his worth and his value. This is Paul to the church of Philippi. He says, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, because for me to live is Christ and to die is even better. Like it's worth it. This is Paul to the Romans, the church in Rome. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the joy that will be revealed in us. And his present sufferings had included shipwreck, snake bite, stoning, left for dead, imprisonment, and facing death. And he's like, it's not even worth comparing. I'm not even saying it's worth it. I'm saying I'm not even comparing it to what's coming. All throughout the New Testament, we're called to live lives that are worthy, right? At the church in Ephesus, the church in Thessalonica, the church in Colossians, all these moments, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received over and over. And on the flip side, this is what Jesus says. And these are sobering words. When someone was trying to decide if I should follow Jesus or not, this is what he says. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. These are the words, the sobering words of Jesus Christ. Encouraging you to prioritize following him over all the other good things of this life. But if those good things hold you back from following Christ, those are scary words. And for some of you, you have risked it. You've invested, you've supported missionaries. And I hope these passages are an encouragement because you're like, yeah, it was worth it. Your own pastor deals with physical difficulties from serving on the mission field, right? Like, is it worth it? These are hard, real things. All throughout Scripture, though, like think of Abraham. Remember Abe? God says, calls Abraham, says, I'm going to go to the land where I will show you. Can you imagine that conversation with his wife? Hey, honey, so let's pack up and move. Where are we moving to? I don't know. Abe, you don't even have GPS. I know. Like, can you imagine that conversation? And Abe packs up. He was a very wealthy man. He packs up all his servants and all their cattle and all their camels and all their belongings and then just leaves, not sure where he's going, but had determined that it was worth it. Whatever it was, following God was worth it. And this is Moses. Can you imagine the day when God says, hey, I want you to go face the most powerful man on earth and defy him and say, let my people go. Can you imagine that conversation? And Moses is like, all right, it's worth it. Can you imagine David facing giant? You defy the armies of the living God, and I'm coming for you because you're worth it, because God's worth it. This is Elisha slaughtering his 24 oxen and burning the yokes. This is like his career. This is his safety net. Could have kept at least some oxen and some yokes when God calls him to follow him, and he just leaves it behind and ends that career and jumps in there because God is worth it. This is Caleb saying, they're only giants. Let's roll. It's worth it. And then 80's the new 30. I'm going again. Like, he was amazing. This is Mary hearing from the angel. A pain will pierce your heart. And she replies, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me fulfilled. And she stored up all these things and she pondered them in her heart. And 33 years later, she stood at the foot of the cross and watched her son be killed. But it was worth it. And these are empty nets and boats laying at the water's edge of careers left behind. And this is Mr. and Mrs. Zebedee who watched their kids Not one, but two go off and follow Jesus. This is Peter facing the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of the day who had just killed Jesus 30, 40 days prior, and saying, you decide if I follow you or God, but there is only one name under heaven that might be saved. His name is Jesus, and you killed him. You killed the author of life. It is worth it. This is Paul facing the church that he had persecuted. Now he's signing up for membership. That's an interesting membership meeting. This is Stephen with the stones flying and the angry mob, and he describes the vision that he has because he was worth it. And this is Paul saying, I'm being poured out on the altar of your faith as he gives his life up for the church to grow. And this is Paul saying, I trust my soul to the one who can bring me safely home. And he didn't mean Antioch, he meant heaven. This is Lydia, who leveraged her house and kind of her, I don't know, force of nature and got the Apostle Paul to stay there 30 extra days in a house. Church is born, which ended up being the church at Philippi in her living room. And this is the pioneer missionaries who packed their belongings in coffins and headed out overseas. And these are the missionaries now undersupported with bare pantries who keep going, and the ones who sold their homes or gave up their 401ks and have malaria yet again and are risking lung disease from pollution, right? Because he's worth it. And these are mothers who take their children and raise them in a jungle, and fathers who are leading the way, believing he's worth it. And this is those who left their family or gave up stability or living far away from their mom because he's worth it. It takes radical commitment to Christ, believing that he's worth it. Like, you're going to have to believe that. Church, if we're going to reach every last tribe and people around the world, we're going to have to decide he's worth the cost as a church and as individuals. Like, we're going to have to decide that. And you're going to have to think for yourself, like, what is God calling you to do? And I want you to picture a scale. And I want to picture, what is God calling you to do? Maybe he's calling you to be a sender. Maybe you want to get involved on a prayer team of a missionary. You've got a couple missionaries staging and getting ready to leave in the next year or two, months even. Maybe you want to get involved and be on their prayer team and send them. Maybe you want to be on their financial partnership team and just commit to help getting them there and keeping them there and praying for them and maybe going and visiting. Wouldn't that be amazing? Maybe God is calling you to be a sender. Or maybe God is calling you to be a receiver. Warsaw is a really unique place in that there are nations who have come here and live here among us in this town. It's wild. When we lived here, my wife started a Bible study with a couple of ladies that she met in the community from Argentina, and then pretty soon from India, and then China, and then like just all these other countries. Pretty soon she was having Bible studies with, I think, 15 different countries. It was wild. Right here in Warsaw, the Lord is bringing nations to us. Maybe God is calling you to step in and being a receiver. And maybe there are people in this room God is calling to go for the sake of the gospel, get some training, and take the gospel somewhere where it's not available. Life moves quickly, man. I know you've had so many people tell you that, and all of a sudden now I'm one of those old guys telling you how fast life goes. Like, I just long to have a family and have kids, and now they're all taller than me and living. One's in Columbia and one's in Milwaukee. And they're like, how did that happen? Like, blink and it's gone. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You just can't even understand how fast life is going. Like, don't wait on this thing. What is God calling you to do? Well, let me just say this. The living creatures who've seen some things that say he's worthy of whatever you put on that balance. And the elders would say, he's worthy of your time. He's worthy of attention of this church. And the angels would say, he's worthy of your resources. And the martyrs would say, he's worthy of the risk. And all the redeemed, once they see God in his glory, would say, this is good and right and true. whatever it is that you're putting on that scale, he is worth it. Let me pray. Lord, I sense that you are at work moving in this church. And I pray that you would move in a powerful way. Help us to see a bigger picture. Help us to see a kingdom that's moving and on the move and advancing. Lord, would you use this church as part of that? Would they be senders and goers so that all peoples around the world would have access to your gospel, become sons and daughters and true worshipers of you, that you would get the glory that you receive. Lord, that we might reach this nation as well, and this community, and these neighborhoods, and these families, and this generation, and the next generation, and the children being raised here would grow up glorifying, magnifying you because you're worthy. And we just confess that today together. Lord, you're worthy of all of this. May you be glorified with our response to your word this morning. Amen. You're dismissed.